Time to Take a Break with Gene and Mary. Every weekday at noon Eastern Time, join us as we talk about what's on our minds. Email us at contactgeneandmary@gmail.com or interact with us on Facebook for your chance to win a participation prize every week.
Well, good morning, Gene, or good afternoon.
Good after morning, yeah.
Good after morning. How are you today, buddy?
Good. How are you doing?
Fabulous. Always fabulous. You know that. Yeah. If I'm not fabulous, I'll put on my unicorn horn and my leggings, and I'll become fabulous.
Become fabulous. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
So today, I have a word of the day for you.
Okay. Good. Good. I like the word of the day.
It's royal.
Royal.
But not R-O-Y-A-L.
Really?
No, it's R-O-I-L.
Royal.
Royal. What does it sound like to you?
Well, I mean, broil?
Sounds like broil. You must be hungry. It must be lunchtime.
I'm thinking, yeah, royal. I don't know. Foil?
Foil? Royal? A boil? Broil?
But you know
toil?
What? But you know what? I bet you know what it is. It's about.
I do.
Okay.
It's about boiling. It is to make a liquid turbid or muddy by disturbing the sediments. Like you boil something so much till, like, you know when you are boiling eggs hard and they're bouncing around in the pot?
Yeah.
They're roiling.
Really?
But it's also, there's another word for that called...
Is it like a cross between roll and boil then?
It is.
Okay.
But there's another way to use that, and that's like to make someone annoyed or irritated.
Well, you know, I just had that thought. If I was roiling, if I got really so mad, I rolled around in the ground.
If you're you're roiling mad. You're so very irritated.
That's pretty funny.
And that brings us to today's topic. Which I want to thank our delightful and lovely researcher, Barb Marino, for doing the research on this.
Yes, thank you, Barb.
The reason for this is, it sounds like Kenny's roiling for hunger or something. Anyway, I had seen an expression on a webpage somewhere called boil the ocean. And I thought, can you boil the ocean? So I had Barb look into this. And it's really an idiomatic phrase that means to undertake an impossible task or to make a job unnecessarily difficult. And I know that our listeners hear me constantly talking about pulling the weeds in my yard and in my garden. And it sounds like it might be an impossible task. So maybe when I'm talking about weeding my yard, I am boiling the ocean about it.
Maybe.
I'm kind of like beating the dead horse.
Yeah.
But I will tell you that I actually like pulling weeds. There's a certain tactile sensation that's pleasurable to me to feel those roots ripping up out of the ground.
Yeah. It's like cathartic.
It is. It's very cathartic.
And honestly, it's obviously better for the environment and the garden than using like a spray chemical.
Oh,
and it actually works well. Because you could, if you get the weed out of the garden, root and all, then the whole thing, you can lay it there and let it dry out and go back and become food for the garden
You know that those chemicals are bad for the earth. They go into the water streams, but also they're not permanent. They don't last forever.
Mm-mm.
The weeds will come back. I don't care what you say, Monsanto.
Well, my thing is, with the weeds in the garden, what I've found, as a general rule, if you really encourage the plants that you want, including a lawn grass, a lot of times they will go ahead and choke the weeds out themselves.
Actually, I have a plan.
Oh.
I want to have mint growing all over my yard.
Nice.
So that when we cut the grass, it smells like mint.
Perfect.
And mint is a good mosquito repellent.
Yeah, I suppose it would be.
And just, can you imagine my yard full of mint?
You know what? I've got a mint spot in my yard.
Yeah.
And when I go through, I go through it with the lawnmower, and the whole place just wakes up.
My grandmother did that, and I used to love to cut her grass because I knew I'd get to go through her spearmint. And the spearmint that I've got came from her yard by way of my brother. I got it from his yard, and now it's growing here down in Florida. Nice. Boil the ocean also is a business term. It means to call someone out for taking on an overly large or potentially impossible task given the reality of their resources. So if I wanted to say, well, I would never say this, but if I thought that Forgotten Enchantress was boiling the ocean, I could have told Jennifer, you're just boiling the ocean with that documentary.
So like if I knew this guy that wanted to set the world record for simultaneous hokey pokey dances, that somebody didn't think it was possible would tell me I was boiling the ocean.
They could, but I would say, go for it, Gene. I think it's a great idea.
But I mean, okay. So you wouldn't think I was boiling the ocean.
No, okay. I would not.
Okay, but I did get the context correct.
You did. You got the context absolutely correct.
Excellent. Okay.
And
I'll tell them.
What Barb found out was our ocean could literally boil. Because that was what I wanted her to find out, was can we boil the ocean?
Yeah.
And she said that if we raise the temperature by a limited amount of surface water, by a fraction of a degree, it is possible. And if the earth warmed sufficiently, the ocean could boil.
Sure.
Now, there are places in the world. Yellowstone Park has the Old Faithful geyser.
Mm-hmm.
That is a hot eruption from a volcano that's a volcano under the ocean, under the earth, that comes up and brings up boiling hot water.
Yeah.
There are hot springs all over the world.
So the oceans under the ground are already boiling.
Some of them are.
Yeah, hot springs. I did go to Yellowstone one time, and sure enough, the pressure builds up, and you're standing there, and it's timed as such that they know how long it takes the pressure to build up, and then all of a sudden, pow, this thing shoots way up in the air, and hot steam going
everywhere. Does the earth rumble?
It rumbles a little bit.
Or tremble or shake or whatever?
A little bit. I don't remember. I was like 13 or 14, and so I was already trembling and shaking. So it was hard to tell. But
so it's like shaking a bottle of soda and taking the top off.
Yeah, pressure up. Yeah. Sure
enough. It's got to go somewhere.
Well, you know, and like the volcanoes that don't erupt and then they don't and they're quiet and then all of a sudden they start rumbling. And, well, in my lifetime we had that Mount St. Helens up in the northwestern United States just blew the side of the mountain out. The pressure did.
I remember that. And it mostly brought down ash.
Mm-hmm.
But that ash was, I'm not sure what was in the ash, but it was dangerous. Of course, you couldn't breathe it.
Right.
But also, it covered so many things and destroyed, it smothered forests.
Yeah.
It took a while for that area to recover from that. And, you know, there's Mount Fuji is a live volcano in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
If it goes, it's gone. And think about Pompeii. You know, it destroyed an entire civilization. Mm-hmm. Mount Vesuvius, I think it was.
Yep.
When it erupted back in, when was that?
You know what's interesting? What we're talking about is we're boiling water, but we're also boiling the rocks with this lava and these volcanoes.
Exactly.
So the whole earth is boiling in the middle.
That was in Italy,
mm-hmm.
And there are people that are preserved in molten lava where mm-hmm. they lay.
Yeah, they were just sitting at the table and got covered in ash and lava.
And I mean, there are horses and people, you know, nearby that fell off. It's one of the most amazing archaeological sites known to man. But the volcano just erupted. And, of course, I don't remember what year this was. Let me find out.
It was right around the first century somewhere, like shortly after the period that we call Christ, the era of
79
Christ,
right? A.D.
Yeah, okay.
So it was in the first century, and there were no early warning detections at that point. There was no way to know what was happening. No. But now we have some advance warning because we have seismologists, I believe they're called, that
seismologists
that know when a volcano or an earthquake may be about to go. And they tend to run hand in hand. If there's an earthquake, it can trigger the eruption of a volcano mm-hmm. if the volcano is live.
And then you've got to throw the tsunamis in there, too.
Yes, because they come as a result.
Yeah.
And the entire chain of Hawaiian Islands is the result of a volcano erupting. Mm-hmm. So I think it's pretty cool that we have all these natural phenomena that we just started talking about boiling the ocean, and here we are talking about volcanoes and
things. We were talking about the stuff preserved in Pompeii. It's such a resource of just instantaneously preserved things. And I just so happened to see this morning, reading an article, that there's an artifact which is a preserved human foot with a nail going through it. That's the only known remaining physical artifact that humans nailed each other to the cross or whatever.
Wow.
I mean, there's a lot of references that they did it in the record.
Right, right.
But this is the only piece that actually has the foot with the nail going through it.
Well, now, let me tell you, it's possible that it was somebody like my brother Joe. I love Joe dearly. But Joe once accidentally nailed he had a toenail, actually. He had one of those power tools. What do they call them? Air guns?
Like a nail gun?
Nail gun. And he was doing some construction work wearing not steel-toed shoes, mm-hmm. but tennis shoes.
Nice.
And he miscalculated or bumped. I don't know what happened, but he ended up shooting a nail through his big toe. Right at the toenail.
Wow.
And the doctors at the emergency room said that was the first time they'd ever seen that. Actually brought everybody they could come look at it before they removed it. Nice. Come here, you got to see this guy's toe. But poor Joe, I felt bad for it. He's a good sport. He was like, yeah, it's kind of weird, isn't it? Only me. And my son Richard does that kind of stuff all the time. We call him Tim the Tool Man.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's always hurting himself or cutting something. My younger son, Matt, for Christmas one year, one of his friends gave him a replica Viking axe, which was very sharp.
Mm-hmm.
And he was using it as a throwing axe because that's what he does.
Right.
And he sliced off most of his thumb that way.
Really?
Yeah, he dug it deep down, almost got to the bone. He was just playing around. And these aren't 16, 17-year-old boys we're talking about. No. These are 40-year-old men.
Yeah. Not going to grow back.
No, but...
Well, you know, that reminds me of a story I read. I guess there's a bar in Alaska where you can order a expensive fancy drink that they're famous for that has some dude's finger or toe that they keep on hand that they put in it and serve it. And I guess you give it back when you're done.
What is the purpose?
I guess it's just a tradition. This bar has the tradition.
We're going to look that up. We're going to find out more about that for our next show because we're out of time on this show.
Oh, you know what? We are, it looks like.
Thanks for joining us today on Take a Break with Gene and Mary.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Appreciate you listening. Join us each weekday at noon Eastern Time. Check us out online at beunique.org. That's BUNEKE.org for information about all our shows.
Bye, everybody.
See you then.